as Dylan just mentioned, being waiting for an arrival, waiting for something to show up on the scene. See, for 2,000 years, these people had been waiting. Their great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great- God himself. He had been promised that one day, through his family line, through his descendants, that a king would come. And not just any king, but the king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who would come and fix all of our problems, would come through this one family, through this one line of people. Why do we need a king? Well, you see, there was a day when you and I, when humanity, we lived in perfection. Everything was right. Everything was the way it was supposed to be. You and I could talk to God and like a person sitting next to you. We would walk together with him. We would talk with him. We wouldn't be worried. We wouldn't know pain. We would never shed a tear because everything was perfect. But one man and one woman with a single bite of fruit changed all of that. See, one man and one woman decided that even though God said not to do this just one thing, that they knew better than God. So when God said, hey, I've given you all of this. You live in perfection. You can eat whatever you want. Just don't eat from one tree. Everything else you can have. This one man and this one woman said, well, God, I think we know better than you. And with one bite of fruit from the one tree that God told them not to eat from, everything changed. Sin entered the world. We became disobedient, and ever since, every single human being that has ever been born in the history of the world has been born sinful, has been born knowing that someday we would willingly disobey God who created us. So we needed somebody to fix this. We needed a change, and that's what God promised. That's what God promised, that a king would come who would erase all of our sins, who would erase all our mistakes, who would fix this mess that we've made. But the thing is that there was an enemy. See, this king, it wouldn't be easy for him to change things because you and I, we got so wrapped up in this thing called sin that it would actually fight against this king. That there would be a battle, that it wouldn't be simple for him to come and fix everything. So God knew there was an enemy, and he knew that he would have to send a king that was willing to fight, that was willing to give it all, so that once again, you and I could be reunited with God in that perfection. So that you and I didn't have to be separate from him any longer, but instead we could come back together and spend the rest of our eternity with him. See, that kind of king was promised to a certain group of people. One group of people, all descending from that man whom God had promised that they would be the family, they would be the bloodline, they would be the ones that would bring this king into the world. So, while they waited for 2,000 years and waited, they tried their best to obey God. They did. They really did. They wanted to do the right things. But then they would catch themselves making mistakes, worshiping other gods, doing things that they knew they shouldn't be doing. It wasn't easy, because they were still waiting for the king who was going to fix it all. So they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited. And let me tell you, things weren't easy when all of this was going on. See, these people that would bring the king into the world, They found themselves as slaves oftentimes. There were times in their history where they didn't have any food to eat. They were constantly being bullied by other nations, by other kings that could care less about who they are or what their God had promised them. But, thankfully, as they waited and waited for 2,000 years, at least they had this. At least they had the fact that God was still talking to them. So even though they were waiting and there was no sign of this king, they didn't know when he was going to come, they didn't know how it was all going to be fixed, at least they knew that God was still there. At least they knew that God's promise was still real. God would speak through people called prophets. These men and these women who God would speak directly to, and then they would go and speak to the people on behalf of God. So while they waited and times were tough and they were wondering, is this king ever coming? At least God was still talking to them. They had that going for them. They could still believe that the king was on his way. But then, one day, God, who had been there through all of this, decided to stop talking to him. And then one day, where God goes silent, turns into 2 days. And the people are, okay, this is weird. We're not used to this. 2 days turns into 3 days. This is strange. 3 days turns into a week. God, what is he doing? Where is he going? A week turns into a month. This is way too long. This is uncomfortable. Is he still there? Does he still care for us? A month turns into a year. This is wrong. Something needs to be fixed. A year turns into 10 years. God, where are you? Do you still care about us? 10 years turns into 100 years. This is wrong. We need you. We need help. You promised a king. 100 years turns into 400 years. Where God stops talking to his people. Where God, who promised these people that a king would come and change the world forever, decides mysteriously just to go silent, just to not say a word anymore. Until one day. Open your Bibles, if you have them, to Luke chapter 1. If you need a Bible, we have some leaders. They're going to be handing them out. Raise your hand. We want you to follow along. It's important. This is a really interesting story. As we head into the Christmas season, what we're going to look at today is the fact that the story actually starts before Mary and Joseph, that the story actually starts before all the songs that you and I sing throughout this month. There's more to this story than what we commonly think. Luke chapter 1 is where we're going to begin. As I read this, I want you to think about everything I just said. I want you to think about the fact that for 400 years, God, who had been so close to these people, the Israelites, he had been so close to them. He was with them. He showed up in big ways. They could see him. They knew he was there. They never doubted. They heard directly from him. And for 400 years, he decided that he wasn't going to say a word. Until one day, which we're going to read, one day, everything changed. Let's read this together. Luke chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. They're both a part of this family that had been promised a king. Verse 6, both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. They tried to follow God. Verse 7, but they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. They couldn't have kids. Verse 8, once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God. Okay, so this guy's a pastor. He works at the temple, which at the time was the place where God's presence would reside. It's the place where God's presence would be. They knew that if they went into the temple, God would speak. He was there. There was no doubt about it. But for 400 years, he hadn't said a word. For 400 years, they had been wondering if he was actually there. Verse 9. He was chosen by lot. His buddies picked him, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. He went in to do his job. He went in to worship God. They did it a little differently back then. They didn't sing songs. They burned incense. They did things differently. It was a long, long time ago. So he went in to worship God, not thinking much of it. He's going to go in. He's going to do his job. He's going to come out. Nothing's going to happen. God's been quiet. It's just going to be the same old thing. Verse 10. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled. Duh, I would be too. And was gripped with fear. Yeah, that too. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." Remember that name. "He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born." This kid is going to be special, Zechariah. Understand it. Verse 16. "He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elisha to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous." Catch this next phrase. "To make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So God had been silent for 400 years. Then one day, this man, Zechariah, walks into the temple, and an angel shows up. After 400 years of silence, this priest walks into the temple, and God decides, "I'm back. I have something to say. Something's about to change." Zechariah walks into the temple, sees this angel, and realizes that the time had come. The 2,000 years of waiting for this promised king was almost over, because it was time for things to be fixed. It was time for you and I to be forgiven. It was time for the world to change. See, Zechariah and Elizabeth would have known that a new day was coming for humanity, that a new day was coming for us, because we've been separated from God for so long, and things were about to get better. Read verses 16 and 17 again with me. This is talking about their son that the angel told them they would be having. It says, "He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elisha to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." They're having a special baby. To make people ready, to prepare them for the Lord, to prepare them for Jesus, to prepare them for the boy who would be born and laid in a manger on Christmas morning. Their son, his job was to get people ready, was to go out and tell people, was to get people excited for the arrival, for the advent of the Savior, for the arrival of the King that God had promised 2,000 years ago. It's finally happening. Zechariah and Elizabeth, who haven't been able to have kids and are old, are are actually now stepping into the Christmas story. See, for you and I, we read these words and we're like, well, we kind of know how the story goes. Jesus is born, he saves the world, sorry, spoiler alert, and all things are good. But for them, it hadn't happened yet. Jesus wasn't here yet. Their son would actually go before Jesus and prepare people for him. And if that were you and I, we maybe wouldn't have understood that the angel was telling us that. But for these people, remember, they had been waiting. Remember, he was a priest. Remember that there were prophets that were speaking to them for thousands of years as they waited for this king. See, for them, these words from the angel would have sounded very, very familiar. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to. It's Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. It says this: I will send my messenger. Understand that this was written long, long before the angel shows up to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 says, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. That sounds familiar. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. For 2,000 years, the people of Israel have been waiting for their king. And on this day, when an angel shows up to Zechariah and tells them to name their baby boy John, they realize that their son, their sweet baby boy, who they had been waiting for, would be the one to get people ready for this King of Kings and this Lord of Lords who would change the world forever. So imagine this moment with me. Think about this for a second, right? I mean, obviously it's going to be hard. You don't have kids. And you should wait a while before having them. That's my advice to all of you, like 40 years. You don't have kids yet, but put yourself as best as you can into their shoes. Put yourself in Zechariah, boys, and Elizabeth, girls, put yourself in their place, in their shoes. Imagine this moment. Imagine what it would have felt like, knowing that now you're a part of this whole thing. That your people, that your ancestors, your grandfather, your grandmother, your great-great-grandparents, they would have told you these stories. They would have told you that God was promising a king, that king would someday come. And now all of a sudden, you realize that you're a part of this story. That God has chosen you to bring a baby boy named John into the world who would prepare people for their king. Imagine this moment. Imagine how nervous Zechariah and Elizabeth would have been. I mean, this is a special baby. This is a big deal. I was nervous when we brought Asher home a month ago. Heather and I were freaking out. We got in the car. We're like, what do we do with this thing? We have to keep it alive? That's a lot. That's a lot of responsibility. I'm lucky if I eat three meals a day just because I forget about them. Like, I have to, wait, what? I got to change his diapers? He can't, like, wipe his own butt? This is weird. We were nervous, knowing that we were responsible for just keeping our little baby Asher. He's special to us, but I promise he's not John the Baptist, and he's definitely not Jesus, because Jesus probably never cried. Yeah, right. I'm kidding. Jesus cried. But I was nervous bringing our baby boy home. Imagine what Zechariah and Elizabeth were feeling when they realized that their baby boy, whom they were responsible for keeping alive, would be the one who starts this whole Jesus thing, the one who starts this whole the world changing forever thing. That's kind of a big deal. Imagine how excited they would be. Remember, I've said it. For 2,000 years, they've been waiting. And all of a sudden, it was time. An angel shows up, and it's like, let's go. It's time to do this thing. We're going to change the world. What? This is awesome. We've been waiting for this. We're so excited. Imagine the excitement. I don't know about you, but me on Christmas Eve, I get excited. Do any of you get excited on Christmas Eve? Is it a big deal? I don't sleep much on Christmas Eve. I'm a 24-year-old grown man. I still put cookies and milk out for Santa. Don't judge me. It's just, it's normal, I think. At least my wife tells me it's okay. But Christmas Eve, I'm excited. I don't sleep much. I'm up at 5 in the morning nudging Heather going, hey, we got presents to open. I don't know if you saw them, but we got to get going. This is a big day. We got to get the coffee going. We got to start ripping open the presents. It's Christmas morning. I get pumped on Christmas Eve. I'm ready for that day to come. Imagine how excited Zachariah and Elizabeth would have been knowing that they were about to be a part of the very first Christmas Eve ever. That they play a part in this story that would start this Christmas holiday that we still celebrate thousands of years later. Imagine how excited they would have been for their Savior to come. And John, their baby boy, would be the one who would tell people about Jesus, who would prepare people for the work that Jesus was going to do, who would prepare people for the way in which Jesus was going to change this world forever. John, as if you keep reading, you'll see him called John the Baptist, a man who would actually one day baptize Jesus, a man who would spend his entire life telling people, getting people ready for this king. He would have special power from God, as we see here, that God would be with him in a special way to help him go and tell others about the Jesus that many of you and myself serve today. See, what I want you to understand is we're 2,000 years removed from this story, right? It's 2014. We're way past this whole thing that's going on here. But I want you to understand that in this old story that we read, in this event that occurred 2,000 years ago, this was a world-changing moment, unlike anything this world has ever seen. This would change things forever. Zechariah and Elizabeth would be anticipating this king who would come and would fix all the mistakes that we've made, who would forgive us for consistently disobeying God, who would make all of our wrongs right, who would fix all of our problems, who would allow us again to be united with God, who would allow us to live and to walk in this perfection that he created. They were waiting and anticipating this king who would allow us once again to be with God forever. And the time had finally come. See, what's interesting is that you and I, we're supposed to have this type of excitement about the Christmas season. We're supposed to celebrate this Advent thing like that. Like, that's the whole purpose of this season. I'm sorry, but it's not about presents. They're fun. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but that's not what this season is about. It's about anticipating and being excited about the fact that Jesus came into this world and changed things forever. And now, it's about being excited about the fact that Jesus can come into each and every one of our lives and change us from the inside out. There's a lot more to Christmas than what meets the eye. We're celebrating the King, our King, Jesus, who came into this world to take away its sins, to make everything right. And today, now, as we close now, this is what you know. You know that the story of Christmas didn't actually start in the manger. You're like, wait, no, that's not right. That's what we sing in every song. It doesn't. It starts before that. It starts with this little baby named John, whose job it was, who was born for the very purpose of telling people about the baby, about Jesus, who would be born and laid in a manger and who would one day take away the sins of the world. This little baby was born to tell people about the goodness of God. And see, this Christmas, you and I, we share the same task as John the Baptist. See, now it's our job to go and tell other people. I mean, Advent, the word means arrival. The whole name of this season means arrival. This whole Christmas thing is actually meant to be for us to be excited about Jesus who came and fixed everything. And now, for those of us in here who know the story, for those of us in here who knows what God is capable of, it's our job to go and tell other people about this baby who's born on Christmas Day, about this baby who was born and took away all of our sins. It's our job to be John the Baptist today, to prepare people for the work that Jesus is still doing in the year 2014. See, this Christmas, you and I, every single one of you in here, and myself, we have a special opportunity to actually step into this story. We have a special opportunity to actually join in on this whole Christmas thing in a unique way. As we celebrate Christmas this year, we do it anticipating that Jesus isn't done yet. We do it anticipating that Jesus can still come into the hearts and the lives of our friends and our family who don't know him yet. We do it with an excitement knowing that Jesus is not done changing lives, that Jesus is not done changing this world. That even though we know how the story goes, we're excited because he's not done yet. And we can be a part of the story by going and telling others about him. So here's my challenge to you as we finish up. There's two groups of people sitting in here. For those of you that are Christians, for those of you that have began a relationship with Jesus Christ, now you know what our job is this Christmas, to go and tell, to go and prepare people for what Jesus can do in their lives, to go and tell people who don't know Jesus yet that on December 25th, we're going to celebrate a day where this little baby was born, and this little baby is much more than a little baby. He's the Savior of the world, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one who forgives us, the one who changes everything. It's our job as Christians to go and tell people about him. So here's my challenge to you. Who will you tell? I mean, think about that. Don't just shrug that question off. Think about it. Who will you tell? We have some awesome opportunities coming up for you to tell people, or maybe not just tell them. Who are you going to bring with you to hear this? The Christmas party. We're challenging you to invite 3 friends. Who are you going to tell? Christmas Eve is coming. A lot of you are going to be here with your families. What friends could you bring along with you? Because on Christmas Eve, this whole thing is going to come together when Ryan shares in there about Jesus and why Jesus is so important and what he actually did to change this world. Who are you going to bring with you? Who are you going to prepare to hear that message, to hear about who Jesus is and what he's done? Who are you going to tell this Christmas? And for the second group of you, there's some of you sitting in here that would say, you know what, I'm not a Christian. I don't buy into this whole thing, to be honest with you. Christmas is just about presents to me. I could care less about this whole Jesus guy. I'm here because my parents dragged me here. I don't want to be here. I want you to know that's okay. We still want you here, whether you want to be here or not. We still want you here, whether you believe in this whole thing or not. And here's my challenge to you. My challenge to you is this. Keep giving it a try. Over the next few weeks, come back. Join us again. The story doesn't stop here. This is just the beginning. And over the next few weeks, we're going to continue this story. We're going to continue talking about Jesus and what he means and why he's so important. And we're going to explain why people were so excited for him to come. And by the end of this month, my hope for you is that you understand why Christmas is so much more than just a day. So if you're sitting here and you're like, I don't buy all this, that's okay. We're not mad at you. We want you here. But I am going to challenge you to keep giving it a try, to come back as we continue through this story, as we continue through the Advent season. Let's pray. Lord, you are so good. God, I love Christmas. It is so much fun. Everything from the songs we sing, to the church services, to the 6-foot inflatable Santa I have in my front yard. I love Christmas. And God, I pray this year that for those of us sitting in here that know you, this wouldn't just be another Christmas where we go through the motions, where we enjoy the presents, God. It's fun, and those things are all good. I'm going to enjoy those things. But God, my prayer is that we would understand that this whole season is about your arrival, about you coming. After thousands of years the people waited, you decided to step in and change the world and forgive us of our sins and make all of our mistakes right, to turn everything around so that we could be with you again. And God, I pray that for those of us in here that know you, this would be an exciting season, that we would be excited about celebrating this, and that we would go and tell other people about what you've done and who you are. God, that we would have courage to prepare the way, like John the Baptist did for Jesus, that we would have courage to go out and prepare people's hearts for the work that you're still doing today. And God, I pray for those of us in here who maybe don't buy into this yet, who maybe don't believe. God, I pray that you would work in our hearts, that you would prepare us for what you can do in our lives. And God, as we continue this story, I pray that you would open our eyes and open our hearts to who you are, to know that you are real, to know that you are good, and to know that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We love you. We thank you so much for your love. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.